This morning, I want to start things out a little different. This morning, I want us to start off with a commercial break. So if you'll go ahead and show the video there.
Let me see that.
Participation trophy. But we won every game. Why did we get the same trophy as all those teams we beat? Are we going to start ending games with hugs instead of handshakes? No. No, 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 no. No, 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 no.
Here you go, champ.
Thanks.
All right. I'm not advertising for Kia necessarily, but that is one of my favorite commercials. I don't know what it is about that guy and his thought, but it strikes a chord with me. As that father's thinking, no, 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 no. I am thinking, yes, yes, I'm with you. I'm with you. We need to reward achievement, don't we? I mean, surely we want our kids to actually give their very best. Don't we want our employees to put in a full day's work to get a paycheck? Don't we want the best out of our church family? Don't we want each person here to serve and to love and to get involved to the very best rather than just participate, rather than just show up? Don't we want people to really just jump in there and do something? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, this is what it says. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. The writer of Hebrews, he says, hey, we need to figure out ways in which we can push each other and motivate each other and get each other moving. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. Again, we're told through Scripture, we're said, hey, you have some responsibility in this. You need to take care of yourself. You need to work for yourself. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. Again, I don't know if you're getting this perspective, but the truth is we expect people to make an effort. We expect people to be responsible. We promote the idea of achieving success. We live in a world where you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Well, at one time our world was like that. I'm not sure it's quite like that anymore. We chant this mantra to our children. You can be whatever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. We even proclaim things like this in our society. If you can believe it, you can achieve it. The truth is, in many areas of our life, that is true. We can and we will lose weight if we eat less calories than we burn. That's the truth. I don't do that, but that is a truth. We can get in better shape if we commit ourselves to exercise and to healthy living. We can get a college degree if we'll put in the work. We can read more books than we watch television if we just turn the doggone thing off. You can give up all sorts of things in your life if you'll do it. We can. We can. We can do those things. But when it comes to becoming the woman or the man that God wants us to be, we can turns into we can't. At least not on our own, we can't. When it comes to being spiritually mature, when it comes to living the way God wants us to live, we can't do that on our own. In fact, we've been talking since last week. We just started this series. But we're talking about change how we change. The idea is that we need to stop changing, or we need to start changing the way that we change our lives. And last week we talked about that change is a process, not a project. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes God being involved. Well, today I want to talk about the idea that it is not achieving, but it is receiving that we need to be about. It's not about what I can achieve, it's about receiving what God gives me. For some reason, just hearing that goes against the grain. For some reason, to hear that we receive instead of we achieve just kind of turns some people off. But the truth is, unless we can grab hold of that, we will never truly find freedom. So today, I want us to dive headfirst into the human condition. I want us to dive into the battle. I want us to get in the midst of the fight. I want us to find the hope and security of a victory. But before we get into the actual battle this morning, I want to have a little confession time with you. I'll just be honest with you. I have been disappointed, to say the least, in my spiritual growth. I've been disappointed in my spiritual growth. Let me ask you, has anyone out there, have any of you felt disappointed in your lack of change in spiritual life? Have any of you felt disappointed that you're not where you wish you were or want to be spiritually? Have any of you thought that by now I should be able to pray better? I should, while I'm praying, I should be able to keep my mind on what I'm talking to God about. And you wonder why you can't pray like you wish you could. Or any of you disappointed because you thought by now that you would be less anxious. You would be trusting God with your future rather than taking all that burden on yourself. Are any of you disappointed because you thought by now that you would have moved beyond certain temptations in life, but those temptations seem to still have their claws in you? Or you thought that by now you would be better with your finances and that you would be more generous and be making a difference in the life of someone who may not have as much? Or maybe you thought you'd be a better family person, a better spouse, or a better parent, a better brother or sister, a better friend. Maybe you thought by now in your spiritual walk with the Lord that you would be sharing your faith with boldness and you would have this big impact on the people around you. Or you thought that you would have a better grip on the stuff that you say, and yet you still find angry words flying out of your mouth without you stopping them. Or maybe you're disappointed because you thought that by now you would know God better than you really do. Lots of times during a sermon, I'll say, well, now, if you agree with me on this, just raise your hand. Has anybody seen that movie? Raise your hand. Anybody in that condition, raise your hand. But the truth be told, we're trying to change. We're trying to get to a point where we can move beyond where we are right now. And so this morning, I'll just be honest with you, I'm going to raise the stakes. So here it is. If you have ever been disappointed with your spiritual growth, I'm going to ask you to stand up right now. So if you've ever been disappointed with your spiritual growth, I'm going to ask you to stand up right now. If you've ever been disappointed with some area in your life, I want you to stand up right now. Okay, now, I thought that might happen. And please know, I'm standing with you. I've been standing the whole time because I know where my spiritual growth is. But I want you to understand this is our condition, all of our condition. We share in it. And it's important that we're honest about it if we want to change it. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I told you I was going to raise the stakes and I'd give you a little relief there. So in the midst of this battle, trying to be the people we want to be, trying to be the people that God wants us to be, I think we can admit that it is a battle. And with that in mind, I'd like us to turn to Romans chapter 7, because Paul describes it exactly like that. A battle, a war, a fight that we are in. And so I want to read to you out of Romans chapter 7. But as I read these words to you, try to think in terms of your life, yourself, who you are. Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 14, says this: "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Where I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? So I listen to Paul's description. It just hits home. It strikes right at my heart. There is a clear picture that Paul is painting here, and that is we are in a battle that we cannot win. We are in a battle that we cannot win. No matter how much effort or energy or time we put into it, we will lose it. The idea that we can somehow achieve a victory over sinfulness on our own is like the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. If any of you have ever seen that, Dr. Jekyll is trying to control Mr. Hyde once he lets him out. And if you're familiar with the story, if you're not familiar with the story, you need to go rent the movie. Don't read the book. I mean, come on. And you need to watch it. But eventually, Dr. Jekyll cannot control Mr. Hyde. That's the same with us. The idea of self-determination and self-will runs rampant in our society. And we honestly believe that we can, by our own strength, accomplish whatever we put our minds to. Anybody know who Tony Robbins is? Yeah, he's one of those motivational speakers. You know, on his website, this is what he says, direct quote from his website. He says, you're hungry for something and you won't settle for less. You won't settle for less than the life you desire and deserve and the power to be everything that you can be. Yet the world around us isn't getting any easier, more peaceful, or less challenging. In order to change our circumstances, the only solution is for us to get better. He goes on, he says, the good news, you can learn how to become stronger, more resourceful, and more powerful than you ever thought possible. Through this seminar, you will find your very own psychological state of strength and activate the emotional fitness to overcome obstacles that hinder you from achieving success. Woo! What a mouthful. Essentially, he's saying, I can teach you how to overcome everything on your own strength. But to be quite honest, Paul directly refutes that idea. Paul says, what I want to do, I do not do. What I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. In fact, at the very end of Paul's description of his battle, he essentially says, help me. Help me. This is where we all end up. When we try to achieve spiritual maturity on our own strength, we all end up there. Help. You know, it's an easy thing at first. You see that you're not the person you want to be. So what do? You try harder to be the person you want to be. And you try harder. And you try harder. And all that trying, when it doesn't actually accomplish everything you want, leads to frustration. And that frustration eats at you and eats at you and eats at you until you finally give up. You quit. And then after you quit, a while goes by and you see that there's some things in your life that you need to change. So you try harder. And you try harder and you try harder and then you're frustrated and then you quit. It's a cycle that you get in, that I get in. When we try to solve everything on our own, when we try to do things on our own strength, we are in a battle that is unwinnable. So what is the point? Well, Paul goes on. I want you to pick up with me the next verse. Romans chapter 7, verses 25 through Romans 8, verse 6, he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Paul starts off by telling us, sharing with us, showing us that the battle we are in, we cannot possibly win. But then he turns the corner and he says, there is a battle. And if we are in that, we cannot possibly lose. He says, you're in this battle, but if you get on the right side, if you understand who's in control, if you accept the terms and find your strength in someone beyond yourself, which is Jesus, then you cannot possibly lose. See, Paul turns from a battle we cannot win to showing us a battle plan that actually works. And that plan consists of entrusting our lives to Jesus Christ. That plan consists of receiving the victory that God has already secured through His Son, Jesus the Christ. See, God tells us through His Word, He says, it's not about self-determination. Instead, it is about you submitting self to the Lordship of Christ. Paul says, I can't win, but with Jesus, I can't lose. By myself, there's no victory, but with Jesus, everything is victory. In fact, I love this plan because God's plan solves so many problems, but two of them I want to look at this morning. First of all, God's plan keeps us from living under the constant weight of failure. How often have you thought to yourself, I don't deserve God's forgiveness again. I've failed too many times. How many times have you said to yourself, God cannot possibly forgive me again for doing this sin, for walking down this road, for continuing in this behavior? How often have we thought to ourselves, God cannot possibly forgive me. I don't deserve His forgiveness. Let me ask you a question. Who told you that you deserve God's forgiveness in the first place? Where did you ever get that idea? You didn't forgive it in the first place, and you don't deserve it in the first place, and you don't deserve it now. But by His grace, He gives it. He forgives. We don't earn forgiveness. He gives forgiveness. He offers forgiveness. We receive forgiveness. We can't achieve it, but we sure can receive it. Which leads me to the second problem that God's plan solves, and that is God's plan frees us to live with boldness and confidence, not in a victory based on our strength, but on a victory based on God's strength. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, this is what it says. Colossians 1, verse 27, it says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of His mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want you to understand what that's saying. By the way, I put the underline under there. The Christ in you, that is telling you, it's because Christ is in you that you have hope for glory. It's because Christ is working that you have any hope at all. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Christ gives me the strength. It's through Him that we can accomplish things. Not us, but Him. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, after Paul's been pleading for his, whatever it was, his thorn in the flesh should be taken away, this is the answer he got. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and insult and hardship and persecution and difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul, by the way, wrote every single one of these texts. And he's reminding us that we are weak, but God, He's strong. In fact, when God's strength is seen in our lives, even though we're weak, then true victory is in sight. Not just for us, but for those who see what God is doing through our weak lives. See, this morning, I think it's extremely important that we understand that we are in the midst of a battle. As Christians, we have been made a new creation. That's what God's Word says. You are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. But we still live in the flesh. And with the flesh, with that old nature, comes this continuous battle, this war that is constantly going on. The old nature trying to war against the new desires of the kingdom in our lives. There's this constant battle going on in our lives. And it will never stop until we reach heaven or Christ returns, which means we reach heaven. So we need to find our strength in the Lord. See, don't give up because it doesn't depend on you or me. It doesn't depend on us achieving success. It doesn't depend on us achieving a better life. It doesn't depend on us achieving anything. It depends on us receiving what God gives. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 10, I want to close with this text. You're very familiar with it. It says this, For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Paul says, grace is what saves you. The blood of Jesus saves you. The sacrifice of our Lord saves us. But he says it's an offer of grace. You didn't earn it. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough. But then he goes on to say, next verse, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Paul says you can't earn it. It is given by grace. And yet God has transformed your life. He has worked within you and recreated you into what He wants you to be. And He has jobs for you to do and work for you to do. But you receive all that by His creating, not by your strength. So this morning, as we battle with ourselves, as we try to be the people God designed us to be, my challenge to you and to myself is that we would accept what God gives and live in His strength instead of living in our own strength. If we battle by our strength, we will never win. But if we battle with the Lord's strength, we can never lose. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank You for all You bless us with. And we come this morning recognizing that we're not the people we wish we were. There's things in all of our lives that we would change. Physical things and the way we deal with people, the way we accomplish our job, or all sorts of things. But most importantly, people that we want to be for You, the maturity that we want to show for You, the lives that we want to live for You. We're not where we want to be in that. And that leaves us so often feeling discouraged and overwhelmed and upset, but God, you knew we could never do it on our own, and so you gave us Your Spirit. You provided us with the strength through Your Son. So I pray for each of us here that we would recognize that and accept that gift. Not that we put no effort in, that's not it, but that we're living by Your strength, not our own, depending on Your strength, not our own, trusting in Your strength, not our own. I pray for each one here that we would live our lives each day with a greater reliance on You. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.